Welcome to Head Games Radio today on a Tuesday, and we've got a great show, as always, lined up for you. Today we're going to start off by talking with Rick Goslin from the Dallas Morning News about the Bill Parcells resignation, what it means, and get Rick's take also on the matchup in the Super Bowl. Then we'll move on to Ron Jaworski, Jaws, my former teammate, the best professor in ESPN, and look into detail about this matchup between the Colts and the Bears. And it's going to be a great game. I truly believe it's going to be a great game. I think that it'll be one of those things where the two-week delay will give the Bears a chance to make it very close. It's hard for teams to maintain their rhythm with a two-week delay. And finally, we'll finish the show, as we have been the entire 2 weeks of the Australian Open, with Luke Jensen, our special correspondent. But let's go back to yesterday's show with a special guest, Bill Polian, the resilient and successful and excited general manager for the Indianapolis Colts, talking about what this victory meant. Well, we'll go back to that in just a second. The idea behind the show today is we're going to look into the matchups as best we can. We're going to talk about the matchup in terms of what it means to Peyton Manning, whether this has gotten the 500-pound gorilla off his back, or whether the gorilla is still in the room. Most people believe it's still in the room, and how he's going to be able to handle that. Here's Bill Polian.
Terrible circumstance, Tony, tragedy, and then, a 41-yard shank to send a game in overtime against Pittsburgh, instead of perhaps putting it in overtime, I should say. But what we saw in that playoff game last year, we saw last night, which is a team that doesn't quit, that plays to the last whistle, that doesn't believe that adversity can knock them down. And so I'm happy for all the people in the organization who are going to, for the first time in their careers, get a chance to go to the big game, and most proud of our team for the fight that they showed.
And what it's going to mean for Bill Polian, a chance for a guy that was with Buffalo to finally get that win. We'll be right back with Rick Goslin from the Dallas Morning News. And coming up soon, Ron Jaworski, Jaws, the professor, on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 122.
Do you have dry skin, cracked heels, hard calluses, or corns? Then use Cracked Heel Skin Softener from Blue Goo. Cracked Heel has lecithin, lanolin, and beeswax, plus emu oil to penetrate and soften the skin. Just massage Cracked Heel into your feet twice a day and feel the difference. Your feet will thank you. No more pain from cracked heels, hard calluses, or corns. Make your next step a comfortable one with Cracked Heel Skin Softener. Available at Walmart, Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Duane Reade.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
What would you do with the extra money if you didn't have a mortgage payment? Secure your retirement? Pay for college? Invest in real estate? Travel? Is your home paid for free and clear? Or do you have a 30, 40, or even 50-year mortgage? Or worse, are you making interest-only payments with no reduction on the debt? If so, you're on a treadmill going nowhere fast. At United First Financial, we have great news. Our average client will pay off their 30-year mortgage in as little as 8 to 11 years, potentially saving thousands in interest. You don't need to refinance your existing mortgage. You don't need to make more money, and there's no need to alter your current lifestyle. Our Money Merge account can help you own your home years sooner, wipe out your debts, and have real financial independence. Our program works with fixed rate, interest only, and even NEGAM loans. This is not a bi-weekly mortgage program or a debt roll-down plan. Again, no refinance of your mortgage is needed. To receive our free DVD, please call 800-300-1096. That's 800-300-1096.
This is Nick Lowry, and I'm here to tell you about HeadGamesRadio.com, the official website of Head Games Radio. If you can't listen to the show every day, just go to HeadGamesRadio.com and join the Head Games team.
You get to listen to Head Games highlights from our superstar guests. As a member, you'll be entitled to exclusive offers and information, so register with us so we can send you updates and special giveaways that non-members just can't get. Stay tuned. Check out HeadGamesRadio.com. Email us and join the Head Games family.
Hey, motorsports fans, it's Kenny Sargent with Speed Freaks, Motorsports Radio Redefined. Join Lugnut, Crash Gladys, Statman Carruthers, and myself each and every Saturday afternoon and Sunday nights on the Sports Byline USA Network. Saturday afternoons, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern, and then Sunday nights for the granddaddy, 10 to midnight Eastern, all right here on the Sports Byline USA Network. Off-road to open wheel, NASCAR to drag racing, you get the real deal with the Speed Freaks on the Sports Byline USA Network.
Yes, I was fired. It happens to most coaches. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to just lie there in the fetal position and whimper?
Had we lost, we would have been too small. Now, since we won, we're in great shape.
That was Bill Polian, general manager for the Indianapolis Colts, a guy that's been to the Super Bowl a number of times but is facing the opportunity to finally get it on the right side of the equation. And we're joined by Rick Gosselin right there in the center of the Dallas situation. Rick, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Nick.
Tell us, I want to get your analysis of the Super Bowl coming up, but before we do that, and perhaps it's being covered to the point where it's actually taken away from the Super Bowl and the excitement and the way the caliber of football this season has been, I think, unprecedented and also unpredictable. But what is your take on this Bill Parcells situation?
Well, I think it was brewing. I think the reason Parcells came back in 2006 was because he thought he could win the Super Bowl. He had the healthiest team in football, and he finished one game over 500. I think he realized he probably couldn't win the Super Bowl next year with this team, so why stay? I don't think he was here to build the Cowboys. I think he was here to win. And if he couldn't see himself winning in 2007, why stay?
Rick Gosselin, what do you think was the primary factor besides that? How much of it was his working relationship with Jerry Jones? How much was it his health and the sense of a certain lack of urgency, lack of passion that he perceived in himself? And how much of it was the daily egos that he had to manage, particularly T.O.?
Well, I don't think that was the issue. I think the issue is, like I had said, those all may have been minor parts in the decision, lesser distractions. But again, I think he was here to win a championship. He hasn't won a playoff game, and I don't think he saw that happening in his near future. You know, the Terrell Owens thing was, you know, warmed down a little bit, but I don't think that was the overriding. I think if Bill Parcells thought he could win a Super Bowl with this team next season, he'd have been back.
What about the fact that they were a 19-yard field goal away from winning it? Would he still be here if that ball had not been fumbled?
It depends what happened next week. If they had gone in and beaten Chicago, maybe gone to the NFC title game, yeah, maybe he would have. Maybe he realized that he could win it, but right now, again, I don't think with a healthy team, they were one game over 500. I just don't think it was an occurrence.
And do you think that this is truly the end of the road for Bill Parcells as one of the top six or seven coaches of all time?
Well, I think it's truly the end. You know, where you want to put him on the all-time pecking order, I'm not prepared to say. But I do think, he's 66. I mean, you don't keep coming back. You know, I think Marv Levy would like to come back and coach, but he's in his 70s now. And I think, and you look at the hires that are being made and have been made this decade, everybody wants the young, energetic, aggressive guy. You know, Mike Tomlin was 34, was hired this week. You see guys like, Jack Del Rio and Jeff Fisher was hired young, Bill Carr was hired young. You know, the league has gone to the younger guy. And I think, unless a team is desperate, possibly even the Giants, they may give Parcells another call, but I think more and more teams are looking in the other direction for the younger guy.
Rick, what is it about the way the game has changed in the last 20 years where the younger coach, as complex, as competitive as the league is, the younger coach actually has as many assets as a more experienced coach?
I think the older coaches, and Parcells and Gibbs are two great examples, they won their Super Bowls before the salary cap with veteran players. Older coaches like veteran players because veteran players don't make mistakes that get you beat. You know, those Redskins teams, they had, veteran backups behind the veteran starters. Same with the Giants. In a salary cap era, you got to play young players. You can't afford to have veteran backups. You got to get young players on the field. You got to draft them and play them early. And older coaches are reluctant to do that. Younger coaches are less reluctant to do that and you see a trend where college coaches have come on, they're used to turning over their roster every 4 years, and that's what the NFL game's become. You don't keep the players year in and year out. You know, you keep a small core of your star players, but your roster turns over. I think there are only, 19 players still on the Colts from that 2003 AFC title game. You know, there's so much transition on rosters now, and younger coaches are better able to deal with that.
Rick, let's look at what coaches that might be considered for the position to replace a guy of his stature in Dallas. How much they would consider the atmosphere and working relationship with the owner. It's not exactly what it is in Oakland with an Al Davis, but in a Jerry Jones, you have an extremely active owner. How does that play into the decision of a young coach who's being considered?
If you want to be a head coach in this league, Dallas Cowboys are three or four of the marquee franchises. This is where you want to be. And say what you want about Jerry Jones, he will go. He has no boundaries. He will do whatever you want him to do to field a team that can win a championship. Look at the money he spent over the years in free agency. He got, you know, Parcells wanted Drew Bledsoe. Went out and got Terrell Owens. He's not afraid to sign the marquee player. He'll do whatever he can to upgrade this team. That will help that coach win. I don't think anybody should be scared away from that. I think, you know, because it's the Cowboys, I think he almost has to hire a name, somebody he can walk into a press conference and be immediately respected. I think what the direction he's got to go, I think he has to hire an offensive coach. I think what they've got to sell right now is Tony Romo. If they believe he's the answer, you've got to accelerate his development. And you do that by hiring an offensive coach who can handle quarterbacks.
So a Dan Reeves is not exactly your first pick.
No, I think he'll go younger than that. And I do think he'll go offense. But, you know, the names that are being, you know, cycled here, Mike Martz, even, you know, North Turner, who had been here. You know, I threw out Jim Caldwell's name today, the Indianapolis quarterback coach. He'd be a guy I think you'd consider.
Yeah, my perception is Norv Turner does not seem to command the kind of respect, at least when I've witnessed him and what I've heard from other players. So it's going to be interesting to see who the decision is. I think Mike March certainly could be in there. But let's switch to the
Norv Turner is held in the highest regard in this town. And place he could get another head coaching job. He's the guy that called the plays when they were winning those Super Bowls. That's why
about,
his name's back here.
How important is that to a Jerry Jones?
He hired Dave Campbell. He likes what he sees as familiar. I think he could look at Norv Turner and say, I can work with Norv Turner. I know Norv. Norv knows me. We won't have any problems.
Rick, in our last couple minutes, let's switch to the achievement of a Peyton Manning. How high up does that rank, the comeback itself, and what it says about Peyton Manning?
I think this last Sunday was his defining moment in the defining game of his career. That drive with 2:17 left, that defines his career. He is now a big game quarterback. You know, for years he's been losing that game. He's been making mistakes that cost him his team a chance to reach a championship. Now he made the plays. And I think it was even more telling that Tom Brady got on the field after Manning and made the turnover that ended New England's shot. You know, that was usually a role reversal. That was usually Brady making a drive and Manning following up the mistake. Not anymore. I don't think you can ever declare Peyton Manning a guy who can't win the big one. This was the Super Bowl will be anticlimactic. That was the big one last Sunday, beating the New England Patriots.
Well, my take is also the surge in confidence, the way that he will not go there. Literally, he said he's not going to go there in terms of how personal this was. But it was absolutely personal, and yet he handles the press as well as any leader, any dominant leader in the NFL I've seen in some time.
I agree, and I also think, you know, it is being overblown a bit. You know, that's the third straight time he's beaten the Patriots. It's not like this is the first time he's ever done it. He's done it three times, and he's outplayed Brady each time. But this is the first time he's done it on this large stage.
Last question for you is Tony Dungy, our good friend, and just a little quote from Bill Polian about that halftime speech. What on earth did he say?
Well, you know, he sensed that there was a spark there. And Adam's field goal before the end of the half really got us going. And that gave us life, and we knew we were going to get the ball coming out. And you know they're a terrific bunch of guys who never say die, literally.
in our last 20 seconds, how important was that halftime and the leadership of a Tony Dungy?
Dungy told them the week leading up to the game, don't play the mystique, play the 2006 Patriots. And at halftime he said, gentlemen, we're two scores down, we can make it up. And they did.
Buddy, you were two scores down and you kicked a game-winning field goal, Rick.
Okay, Nick.
Thank you, my friend.
Okay.
We'll check in with you next week, I hope. Rick Goslin, Dallas Morning News. When we come back, the Professor Ron Jaworski. We're going to go into more about the quarterbacks. Tuesday morning quarterback with Ron Jaworski from ESPN Primetime on Head Games on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122.
Sudden ups and downs, breathtaking twists and turns. No, it's not a roller coaster. It's the stock market. But it doesn't have to be a rough ride. Just subscribe to Barron's, America's premier financial weekly. Subscribe now and get 13 weeks of Barron's for only $39. Each fact-filled issue brings you investing insights, market information, and special reports you won't find anywhere else. Special reports that include the best-performing companies, mutual fund managers, and the outlook for stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. That's not all. Subscribe today and you'll also get Barron's Guide to Building Wealth, plus 4 weeks of Barron's online free with your paid subscription. All the tools you need to make smarter investment decisions. That's 13 weeks of Barron's, plus the Guide to Building Wealth, and 4 weeks of Barron's online, all for only $39. This offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S.
Call now, 800-828-2639. That's 800-828-2639.
If you think that you have to fight the crowds and long lines this tax season, think again. The Ronnie Deutsch Tax Center will prepare your tax returns over the phone. We can tell you how easy and convenient it is, but our clients say it best. Just listen.
No appointments necessary. You get on the phone as simple as A, B, and C.
I saved a lot of money doing it over the phone and quickly.
I knew that they were going to take full advantage of all the tax laws to help me.
It was fast and convenient, and they were very professional.
Just pick up the phone and call them. You won't believe the results unless you call them. They're there for you. They're professionals. They know what they're doing. Call them now.
Call the Ronnie Deutsch Tax Center today. We'll work hard to get you the biggest refund possible. Time to prepare tax returns and refund qualifications will vary. Services not available in New York or Oregon. Call now and you'll save 10% off our tax preparation fees. Call 800-923-3265. That's 800-923-3265. 800-923-3265. Call now.
Is credit card debt making your life miserable?
Are you tired of harassing phone calls and struggling to make ends meet?
You may qualify for a little-known program through Debt Consultants of America.
This program allows you to pay back only a small portion of the credit card debt you owe.
In fact, up to 60% of your credit card debt could completely be wiped clean.
It's a proven program.
The best part is Debt Consultants of America does all the work for you.
Plus, you don't have to pay back a penny of the debt that they settle for you.
So grab all your credit card statements and call for a free, no-obligation consultation.
Their friendly counselors will give you all the details.
Call 800-761-3480. That's 800-761-3480.
You need to have at least $10,000 in credit card debt to qualify for this program.
For your free, no-obligation consultation, please call us. 800-761-3480. Call now. 800-761-3480.
There's 95 guys or 97 doing the right thing the right way and two or three jerks. So two or three jerks get 97% of the attention.
Join Head Games Radio. Call 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529. And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
You know, sometimes I think that Ron Jaworski is kind of like that mad scientist creating a Frankenstein quarterback that's going to take over the world. How are you, Ron?
Nick, what do you mean you think I am? I am that mad scientist, man. I'm sitting in my office right now, Greg Cosell, NFL Films. We are breaking it down, but looking at the Bears-Saints game. Talked to Sean Payton this morning. Right now getting ready to look at the Colts game against New England.
And is the head of your Frankenstein quarterback Peyton Manning?
Well, yeah, right now he's the head of the class. There's no question of that. But I guess I'd have a little mixture of Tom Brady in there as well. Got a couple Vince Lombardi trophies in the trophy case, would certainly help.
Mm-hmm. How great an accomplishment. Rick Goslin just said this was the defining moment for Peyton Manning in the defining game of his career, and the Super Bowl would actually be anticlimactic. Do you agree?
No, I disagree. It certainly was a defining game for Peyton Manning, but if he is able to win the Super Bowl and clutch that Vince Lombardi trophy, certainly that would be the defining moment. I mean, there's no question Peyton has taken the proverbial monkey off his back with an outstanding game and about as good a second half as you will ever see a quarterback play against a great defense. When you think of the intelligence and athletic ability of that New England defense, and they were able to put 32 points on the board in the second half, shows me what a great performance Peyton Manning and the Colts offense had in that game. By doing that, you know, he got the weight of the world off his shoulders, but I know Peyton well enough. He understands the rich history and tradition of the National Football League, and particularly the quarterback position, and he knows that his career will ultimately be defined by winning a world championship.
I'm looking at a Steve Young 6-touchdown performance. It's going to be interesting to see how he breaks off and cements this trophy. But tell us about where this ranks in your book in terms of the greatest comebacks of all time.
Well, I mean, when you look at the championship games, it clearly is the most remarkable of all time. And when I look at how he did it, you know, there was a point in that second quarter after Asante Samuel took the interception back for a touchdown where the score is 21-3. The next possession that the Colts have, you know, Peyton gets a delay a game, which you never see. I mean, he's always got that 30-second clock in his vision. You know, I think at that point, you know, the Colts offense and Peyton Manning were rattled. I mean, they got a standing 8 count at that point. So it made it much more improbable that they would come out in the second half and play as great as they did. And I mean this sincerely when I said it. You know, that wasn't some schlock defense that they went up and down the field against in that second half. That's one of the most disciplined, most intelligent, one of the best defenses you will play against week in and week out of the National Football League. So I think that made it even more remarkable.
And the telling thing for me was 4 consecutive impressive drives where the Patriots started to cramp up. To me, that meant he had literally reached their Achilles heel.
Or the flu caught up with the Patriots, or the fact that it was hot, you know, in the RCA Dome, or the fact, and I think this has probably been overlooked, and I haven't heard much about it. You know, when you look at New England, they had to play the wild card game. They had to play the Jets in a very tough physical game. You know, then they have another tough game that they got to get by. Then, you know, that's what makes it that much tougher. What people don't realize is you look at a percentage chance of getting the Super Bowl, and you want to give yourself the best percentage chance, and that is getting the bye week, getting a week for your players to rest, to condition, to get healthy. New England did not have that luxury.
But on the other hand, that hasn't seemed to help Marty Schottenheimer. What about the fact that if the Patriots had played a game near the East Coast rather than going all the way across the country, everyone was saying when they got back from San Diego, they were worn out for 2 or 3 days.
Well, it was a tough physical game out there in San Diego, too, which, again, it just goes to show me. You know, the Jets game, it's one of their arch rivalries. That was a physical game. You travel, you know, 5.5 hours to the West Coast. You play a tough physical football team. I mean, it was a grueling, grinding, you know, slugfest, hit him in the mouth kind of football game, which is always the game you're going to get when you play against a Marty Schottenheimer football team. So they were a pretty banged-up football team on that flight back to New England. All of a sudden, there you go, the next week, you know, you got to go up against the Colts. They're back. Yard, you know that's going to be a tough game. And really, for 10 quarters, the Patriots were playing at a very high level. The second half, I believe they just ran out of gas.
Let's go to the matchup itself, Ron. And we talked with our friend Len Dawson, who you've been on the show with before, and Michael Strahan, about the other side of the ball.
Is that the mindset of a defensive team? Is that, hey, my attitude is they are not going to get it done?
That's exactly right. It's all about attitude. It's an offense when you need that drive in the fourth quarter. You decide you're going to get it done. For us defensively, you know, especially in these playoffs, I know for the Colts, they've taken a lot of ribbing about not being able to stop the run. So I'm sure those guys collectively probably got together and say, hey, this is what we have to do in order to be successful and win.
That's Michael Strahan. So looking at the other side of the ball, is it as simple as the Colts stopping Cedric Benson and Thomas Jones?
Pretty much, yes. You know, the one thing that you know, the Chicago Bears, their foundation is running the football. You look at how, and it's the power running game. You look how their offense is built, particularly the offensive line. This is not a movement, the counter tray, misdirection offensive line. It's not an athletic offensive line. It's a road grader bunch. They come off the bus. It's downhill, power running. They very seldom go east to west. They very seldom use misdirection. They get a body on a body, and they try to move the pile. If they're able to move the pile, they keep their offense on schedule. They can go to the play-action passing game and Rex Grossman and allow him to attack deep down the field, which they've been very successful with when they run the football well. So I think clearly when you look at the Chicago Bears in this matchup, it's going to be paramount they run the football.
And let's look at Rex Grossman. I mean, we talk about the confidence, the resurgent confidence that Peyton Manning had with this game, this defining game for him. What about for Rex Grossman?
Well, I actually thought he struggled in the game last week. I just got done going through that tape. He had some opportunities for some plays, overthrew some guys, and missed some reads as well. Left some plays on the field, as I like to say. And it was clear to me the way New Orleans played that game. They wanted to get a lead. I think they wanted to put the ball in Rex Grossman's hands, playing from behind. You know, they wanted the Bears to have to throw the football, not want to throw the football. And, you know, if you have a good offense is throw the football when they want to, not when they have to. I think what the Colts will try to do is try to get a fast start to this game, put that Bears offense in a known situation where they have to throw the football. Then, of course, the pressure begins to mount on Rex Grossman.
Let's look at the injury situation. Two key parts to that Colts' ability to stop the run. We asked Bill Polian about Nick Harper and Bob Sanders. Sanders, how are they?
They're fine. Nick has a basketball sprain of his ankle, and I think he'll be able to go. We'll probably hold him out of practice this week. Bob's fine. He came through the game fine.
So if they're fine, how much is this special player, Bob Sanders, really the catalyst for the confidence and the chance for them to completely turn around? Really, the history, the entire season was about giving up 100 yards. They haven't done it yet.
Well, Nick, I think there was one key word that you can't overlook in what Bill Polian said. He thinks he'll be fine. The key word is think. You know, and so that means they don't know. And Bill used the term basketball sprain. To me, isn't that kind of a high ankle sprain, which at times we know these things take 4 to 6 weeks to heal. So I think, you know, I don't want to overlook that as saying it's a given that Nick Harper is going to be fine for the Super Bowl, and that would be a dramatic loss to the Colts defense, because as I looked at them, how they've been able to be successful in the playoffs, obviously Bob Sanders has been absolutely magnificent, not only in his range going sideline to sideline and pass defense, but as the eighth defender down in the box. And when they use that eighth defender down in the box, that means your corners are on an island. They're in single coverage. And Nick Harper has certainly played terrific. And I think that is absolutely key that he is there. Jason David on the other side and Marlon Jackson, when he comes inside of their nickel packages, have been very, very good. So I don't want to discount the Nick Harper injury. If he's not 100%, that's a big blow to the Colts. Now, of course, you know, we'll be talking about that ad nauseum for the next 14 or 15 days.
And speaking of that, I don't know about you, but I think in a minor way, the way it was with the BCS, when you have this extra long break, and of course 50 days is not the same as 14, but the extra hype, the extra week can sometimes lead to a lackluster game.
Yeah, I think, you know, history has shown it to be that way, but I think when you look at the magnitude of the Super Bowl itself, you almost need that 2 weeks of preparation, not necessarily for the football team, but I think for the fans involved, the extravaganza that it is, the people to get their airline tickets, their travel accommodations, all those things in place. I mean, it doesn't happen overnight. When you're talking about the transportation of probably 40,000 to 50,000 people down to South Florida, in fact, I'm looking forward to that myself, to get some nice warm weather in beautiful South Florida. I think you almost need that extra week to get all those things accomplished.
Well, let's talk about the matchup there with the hype itself, with two coaches, and of course this historical significance of two African American coaches. You could argue that perhaps Lovie Smith might defer, if you will, as competitive as he is. There's so much respect between the two. He actually came down to their game against Herman Edwards and the Chiefs, sat in the stands, paid for his own ticket. How does that play into this?
Well, obviously, first and foremost, these are two outstanding football coaches, you know, and I'm, you know, privileged to call both of those guys my friends. I have great respect for what they've accomplished, and I do find it kind of interesting. You know, there's obviously a lot of headlines. It's the first time not only one black coach is in the Super Bowl, but two black coaches in the Super Bowl, And quite honestly, I've never looked at Tony or Lovie that way. I just saw them as two outstanding football coaches. I've been around them. I've been fortunate to be in their company. These guys are not only outstanding football coaches, they're outstanding human beings. But the fact that they are able to lead their organizations, you know, both taking over to a certain degree stagnant organizations, now leading them each to the Super Bowl, I mean, shows the type of quality football coaches they are and leaders of men that they are.
Final question in our last 20 seconds. They've both been described as people with a certain level of serenity, and we both know a Dick Vermeil. How much does that remind you of a Dick Vermeil, the sort of overweening confidence and serenity?
Well, I think you have to have confidence. There's no question of that. There are a lot of ways to lead. Some guys have their emotions on their sleeve, and some guys are very calm on top. But you know what they say about the duck, though? It looks very calm on top of the water, but you look below the water, and those feet are flailing away.
Well, you and I have been flailing away for a long time, buddy, and it's paid off. Thanks for joining us, Ron. You're the best.
Thanks, Nick.
Have a good week. Ron Jaworski, when we come back, Australian Open with Luke Jensen on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 122. Stay with us.
In today's active world, everyone is turning to exercise and sports to stay young and keep in shape. Both activities can be painful. And what about the aches and pains of arthritis and tendinitis as we age? Now, there's an over-the-counter product with active ingredients that can help relieve pain quickly. It's called Blue Goo. Blue Goo is loaded with emu oil, MSM, eucalyptus oil, glucosamine, chondroitin, and other healthful ingredients that give you lasting pain relief. Whether it's muscle strains and sprains, tendinitis, headaches, back and neck aches, arthritis, or joint pain relief, Blue Goo Pain Relief Gel is for you. It's fast, effective, and affordable. Blue Goo, the real pain reliever, is available in the analgesic department. Or ask your pharmacist for Blue Goo Pain Relief Gel. Accept no substitutes. Make sure it's Blue Goo, the only name to trust in pain relief. Let Blue Goo Pain Relief Gel work for you. Blue Goo, if you have a problem or pain, we have a solution. Blue Goo.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
Smart business people know the difference between success and failure lies in the ability to grow. Being limited by your current facility adds up to lost productivity and even worse, lost revenue. You've looked at the price to build, but have you considered the cost of not building? With interest rates still attractive, now is the time to build that warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space you need. A pre-engineered steel building from General Steel will save you up to half the cost of a similar conventionally built structure, and it'll be erected in about half the time. From airplane hangars to riding arenas, gymnasiums, and churches. Expand quickly and save money.
Call the General right now for your free estimate. 800-965-1298. 800-965-1298. And learn about our $20,000 rebate offer. 800-965-1298. 800-965-1298. 800-965-1298.
Boxing fans, get ready for the most exciting hour on the radio. Through the Ropes, brought to you by GoldenPalace.net, lets you call in and talk to the biggest names in boxing. Hosted by award-winning boxing writer Mark Lichtenfeld, Mark will pull no punches as he goes toe-to-toe with his A-list guests. And the best part is, you can get in on the action and talk to your favorite stars. Do you have what it takes to climb through the ropes? Listen every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network and Sirius Channel 122.
It takes the same thing to get to the Super Bowl and win that it takes to get there and lose. You know, it's not the NBA where you got a 7-game series once you get in that in the final. You got to get it done that day.
And now back to Head Games Radio with Nick Lowry. Join the conversation now by calling 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529.
Luke Jensen, wake up, buddy.
Sorry about that, man. It's been a rough tournament for me.
You run your 5 miles this morning?
I got to get up and do it right. You're my wake-up call.
You got it. And how hot is it in the morning there?
It's not too bad. I mean, that's why you got to get it in before the sun really comes up, because as soon as the sun comes up, it gets up over 100, and then, you know, I'm not that good.
It's summertime over there. Well, let's talk about somebody who surprised, I know really surprised me. When I saw Serena Williams in that first match, I thought, my gosh, is she out of shape? She's 20, 25 pounds heavier than I've ever seen her, yet she found a way to win even without playing good tennis yesterday.
You know, it's amazing, because I saw her directly right after the match, a very hard fought, over 2 hours on court, with that, you know, the temperature over 100 degrees on court, and she walked off the court, and she wasn't even breathing hard. So, you know, define shape. You know, to me, you're absolutely right.
Right.
I agree. She is overweight, but is she out of shape? Is her endurance not there? I'm telling you, she's won some long matches here. And at some point, I've got to believe that the weight is going to catch up to her as she gets into her semifinal match. But, like you said, she has found a way to win. Not just close out matches, but dig herself out of trouble. And she's hitting out. She's finding the strategy and the tactics to get better. She switched to a tighter strung racket, which gave her more control. She's thinking out there. And smart athletes will always beat more talented athletes.
And a three-set match, let's face it, versus a five-set match, that's a big difference, too.
Huge difference. You don't have as many. Yeah, in the men's game, you have a few more chances to come back, and you have to be pretty good with your endurance for those five setters in this type of heat. But still, they go out there for over 2 hours and just bust it side to side. I mean, the girl she plays, Shahar Peir, in the Israeli Army, one of the toughest competitors on tour right now, really coming through as one of the bigger names you're going to see in 2007. Probably going to break into the top 10 this year. She's a bullet, and Serena just knocked her down.
And she's a great athlete. I mean, the way she was moving, particularly in that first, say, set and a half, was extremely impressive. She got a strong game, a good overall game.
Yeah, and you know, the one bad thing is that Serena was able to take advantage of the return of serve. The second serve from Shahar Peir is not that strong. It's not directed well. And when that happens, Serena can dictate right from the first shot. And then on the offensive side, the serving side, Serena has the one of the best motions, the tosses, technically one of the best serves ever in the history of the game.
Here's Serena after being interviewed by somebody you might recognize.
I just love it down under. I like to play in the heat.
You're all over the place, buddy. Well, let's talk about some more women's matches. Vida Sova easily beating Safarova. Tell us about her, because there's so many Russians that seem to be coming on the scene in the last 2 years.
Well, actually, Vadasova is a Czech player, and Safarova is another Czech player. So between anything Eastern Bloc, we'll just say it's
okay,
former Soviet Union.
I'm showing my ignorance.
It's okay. No, Nicole Vadasova is a 17-year-old girl in the same mold as Maria Sharapova, 6 feet tall, very fast, can do a lot of things around the court, especially serve. At the upper echelons of this game, you have to have a weapon, a big serve, extremely quick feet, something that can set you apart when it really counts. And Vadasova has that. But does she have it between the ears? Serena's never played her. She has played Venus last year, Vadasova, at the French Championships, and beat Venus. So I think Venus is going to give Serena enough X's and O's to beat her in the semis.
Moving over to the men's side, of course, you got a big matchup coming on with Roger Federer. Tell us about that and the big win by Andy Roddick.
Well, Roger Federer is Roger Federer. He's yet to drop a set. He's trying to be the first player since 1980, Bjorn Borg at the French Championships, to win a Grand Slam without dropping a set. He's playing Andy Roddick, and this is not the Andy Roddick of a few years ago. This Andy Roddick, who hits the ball as hard as anybody on tour, made only 4 errors in the entire match against another American, Marty Fish, in the quarters, and it was one of the most impressive performances that I've ever seen from a guy.
And two of those are double faults, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the man just came out. Jimmy Connors, who's coaching Andy Roddick now, has got this guy mentally on a different plane. I've never seen him so poised and composed. I've never seen him, you know, move so well. Whatever this guy is drinking, whatever this guy is listening, getting from Jimmy Connors, it's working.
And, you know, it seems to help that Jimmy, with the tragedy of the loss of his mother, was not there. So, you know, there isn't too much of a dependency. You know, he wasn't there. He had to win on his own without Jimmy the first couple matches.
Absolutely. There's no doubt. And I really believe that there is a wanting to win for Jimmy and because of the mourning of his mother. I really believe deep down that he cares for this guy, and they've had such a good time over the last 6 months that he wants to do something special and beat the garbage out of Roger Federer finally. And he beat him in an exhibition, which doesn't count officially, but you keep score. And when you keep score, and in the end you come out of there a winner, you get some confidence from it.
What about the overall coverage of the Aussie Open? It's always been that other major, but it seems to have finally been treated with the kind of attention, the kind of respect that it deserved many years ago.
Well, the ESPN's really trying to... We call ourselves the Grand Slam Network, which means we have three of the four majors. We don't have the U.S. Open yet, but I think what they're really trying to do with the game of tennis is show all marquee, all of our Super Bowls. And our Super Bowls are our Australian Opens, French, Wimbledon, and the U.S. Open. One day, hopefully, we will get the U.S. Open, and then we will be the official tennis network at the highest level. The Australian Open is fantastic because even though, I mean, you get up in the middle of the night, you got live tennis. You have primetime tennis. And to me, I know at times you can get long matches and you're going to lose some sleep, but I'll tell you, it is so awesome to see these athletes coming down for the first major and playing so well. And if we can show that, it's great for our game.
What are you doing at ESPN that is different from other coverage on other networks to show the passion and the intimacy and the athleticism of tennis?
I like that question. I think the biggest thing is we're trying to tell the story. We're trying to tell the story of a girl like Shahar Peher, in the Israeli army, someone who was almost out of the game but came back and found a way to win. The story of Serena Williams, a girl that won the Australian Open in 2005, was a no-show on the planet, basically, in tennis in 2006, and really listening and trying to get to her story, not just forehands and backhands, but let the athletes tell the story and try to fill in the blanks for the viewer so when you tune in, you can really connect with these players. And I think if we do that job, we're going to do, you know, just like selling any other athlete, you have to tell the story out there to keep people entertained.
Talking with Luke Jetson, who's up early for us, for the nation, to talk about one of the great Super Bowls of tennis, the Australian Open, IBM Advantage, Luke Jetson. And we haven't talked about that other superstar, Rafael Nadal, and his match against Gonzalez. Give us a little bit of a preview of that one.
Well, it's going to be awesome because both of these guys hit the ball extremely hard. Gonzalez is one of the hottest players right now on the men's side of the draw. He's kind of snuck through and beat the garbage out of our fine young American talent, James Blake, in the previous round. But this quarterfinal match will be very interesting because Nadal's left-handed, Gonzalez is right-handed. Gonzalez has one of the biggest forehands in the history of the game. He's been clocked over 109 miles an hour on his forehand alone. He can flatten that thing out and just send it on a ride. So I think the biggest thing there is that Nadal, mentally, I mean, it's if you watch these players, just don't watch the way the ball goes back and forth of the spin. Watch the mental makeup of these guys. And I think in the end, Francisco Gonzalez doesn't have it mentally where he needs to be, whereas Nadal has really got it going. Nadal really doesn't panic in situations. He thinks his way through problems, and that's how he got through Murray in five sets, Nadal in the previous round, and that's how he's number two in the world. I don't know if he's got the talent to win this term, because even though he has a winning record against Roger Federer in the finals, there's some really good players that are tuning up for the rest of this tournament. So it's hard to pick a winner, even though Roger Federer's head and shoulders talent-wise over the rest of the field.
I'd say Federer is, if you will, a symphonic player. You know, he just plays it like a Mozart. And then you see a Nadal who is so physical and more kind of a rock and roller. Who's the better athlete?
Well, you know, define athlete. I think if you want somebody to run through a wall for you, I think Nadal's your type of guy. If you want a guy who's... Yeah, exactly. There you go. Now, if you're looking for a guy who's going to try to, you know, see the wall and say, you know what, yeah, you could go through it, but... You can go around it, you can go over it. You know, a thinking man's type of athlete, an athlete that has good hand-eye coordination, extremely good footwork, not as physical, but can definitely, solve the problem. And is a winner in a different way. I think all these guys are athletes in different ways. And remember, tennis is so different from football because, a big tennis player like Andy Roddick, he's big, 6'4", but he's only 195. You've got to be able to move on this tennis court. You're not playing zone defense. You're not relying on other teammates. It's all you, and you've got to cover a lot of real estate. So these guys aren't as big because you have to be so nimble. This is a speed game, and if you don't have the footwork, you're going to lose.
So if Nadal is your straight-ahead runner, sort of your fullback who's going to run through a wall, is Federer kind of like a Marcus Allen or more of an LT?
I like a Marcus Allen. I like that because mm-hmm.
Sees the field.
He's so smooth that they're running so fast, but they don't look like they're running fast. And I think of that great run by Marcus Allen in the Super Bowl against the Redskins. He was stuck in one thing. Yeah. And just kind of scats away. But yet, if he smells the goal line, he slides his way through. And so I think, if he needs to run over somebody, he will, but it's not his number one method of getting there.
Luke Jensen, we're talking with Luke Jensen, IBM Advantage, Luke Jensen. Let's talk about the caliber of tennis in the last 2-3 years, because there's so much discussion about how athletes are improving in one sense around the world, particularly in the United States. Athletes are better athletes, but not necessarily having better fundamentals. Tell us about the caliber of tennis that you witnessed in the last couple of years. Is it improving in tennis?
It really is improving. You see the depth both on men's and women's side. You can go all the way down to 200 in the world, and these guys are fit, they're fast, they're hitting the ball a ton. What's really surprising to me is that mentally they are not as sound. Andy Murray, a young Scot, who is one of the most talented players out there, hits the ball a ton, was up a set in 4-1 against Nadal in the previous round, and he just goes away. I think the athletes are better. I think they're working harder. But I think mentally, it's amazing that they're still extremely immature. I don't know if it's because of the age, but they have to start thinking about it. It's a thinking man's game. A smart player is an effective player.
When we come back, we're going to have a little fun with Luke Jensen. We're going to talk about the mental side. Luke is one of the better people at talking about the passion and the mental side, performing when the pressure is most. We're going to talk about the analogy of the Super Bowl and who he would pick based on the talent, based on the strategy, based on the matchups, and based on also, maybe most importantly, the head coaches going into this game with Lovie Smith and Tony Dungy. We'll be right back on Head Games on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122. Stay with us.
Golf Digest is going to cure your slice now, and that's a guarantee. Introducing the breakthrough video, Cure Your Slice Now, and it's free with your paid subscription to Golf Digest magazine. In this video, top PGA instructor Chuck Cook shows you the 7 key phases of the swing and gives you his proven method for better control and longer, straighter drives. And here's our guarantee. If Golf Digest and Cure Your Slice Now doesn't cure your slice and improve your game, cancel the subscription and keep the video free. Every month in Golf Digest, you get easy-to-follow instruction from the best teachers and players in golf, information on the top equipment, the best places to play, and you also get the removable Pocket Tips booklet. Call now. Use your credit card and get your first risk-free issue, the Pocket Tips booklet, and the video free. You get 11 more issues for only $19.77. If your game doesn't improve, cancel your subscription and keep the video, booklet, and magazine free.
Call 800-828-2639. That's 800-828-2639 for Golf Digest.
Chances are, you're paying too much for life insurance. So why not make a free phone call right now that could save you up to 50%, maybe even more, on quality term life insurance from Matrix Direct Insurance Services. Whether you're buying life insurance for the first time or cutting back on the cost of an overpriced policy, one free call to Matrix Direct is the simple and affordable way to get the term life insurance you need. Call Matrix Direct today, because chances are you're paying too much for life insurance. Here's the number, 1-800-471-TERM. The call is free, the quote is free, and there's no obligation. Call Matrix Direct now, 1-800-471-TERM, 1-800-471-TERM. That's 1-800-471-TERM. Call now.
Available now from Doubleday Books. Real Baseball, Baseball's Golden Era, The Way America Witnessed It, In the Movie Newsreels. Author Les Krantz brings a celebration of the golden age of baseball through the movie house newsreels that once presented the game's great plays and players to fans across the country. Real Baseball is an enchanting look back at baseball from 1932 to 1965. This handsomely illustrated volume, with a foreword by Hall of Fame catcher Yogi Berra, traces the seminal role of newsreels in making baseball the national pastime before television brought the game into houses across America. This book also includes a one-hour DVD that features the most thrilling moments from original newsreels hosted by baseball great Joe Garagiola. Stay tuned to Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network for your chance to win a copy of Real Baseball by Les Krantz from Doubleday. Available now wherever books are sold.
Welcome back to Head Gains. The rest of the week, looking forward to Luke Jensen continuing with his awesome Aussie Open coverage. Jim Beattie, former two-time Major League Baseball general manager, with a baseball hot stove update. We want to give a shout-out to Gary McCord, who's going to be on the show today, who's had heart problems, and he's a very close friend and a very special man, and we just want to let him know that we're thinking about him, hope he's going to be okay. One of the best announcers, and frankly, I think of a Gary McCord and a Luke Jensen in the same way, that they not only understand the game, but they understand the passion and the fun of the game, the entertainment of the game, and why people love tennis and why people love golf as if it's, well, maybe not religion, but it's in their blood. And tomorrow we'll also have Jared Bell from USA Today, but I thought we'd talk about the hype, the two-week delay in the Super Bowl, Luke, and which coach has the advantage. Here's Michael Strahan from yesterday's show.
But a lot of times, if you do have someone like a Rex Grossman or somebody who may not be that confident, and all for 2 weeks now he's going to hear about how they really don't think he's that good, sometimes it doesn't help your confidence going into the game. Sometimes players buy into the hype of what they're saying about one side or the other, and it does not help your confidence in that game.
As Michael Strahan, how would you counsel your teams to stay focused during this long break?
Well, you definitely know you don't have to worry about unmanning. You know, Manning's, this 2 weeks is going to be perfect for him to be able to game plan and really study the film of the Chicago Bears. On the other hand, I think the Chicago Bears are going to rest up and they're going to be ready to go in 2 weeks. You've got to take the 2 weeks because of the tickets, the parties. It's a huge event, obviously, the Super Bowl. You and I partied during a Super Bowl down in New Orleans. So
yeah, we did.
It's definitely a good time. I think in the end, it's going to help both teams, and it really proves on this stage who's got it and who doesn't. Are you going to be prepared to play your best stuff? Are you going to throw it on the line the way it should? It's a Super Bowl. Throw everything out the door. It's if you are prepared tactically, physically, to win.
Luke, you're the best, buddy. We'll see you tomorrow, buddy. Go for that five-mile run. Get ready for the big day.
Fire up.
Fire it up, buddy. Luke Jensen, IBM Advantage. Luke Jensen from ESPN, helping, I hope, some of you understand why we have such a passion for tennis along with other sports like football on this show. Tomorrow, like I said, Jared Bell, Jim Beattie, and Luke Jensen, Mark Schlereth, and Larry Weissman from USA Today on Thursday. Go to headgamesradio.com. That's headgamesradio.com for all the highlights and all the clips. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.